Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Let's go, baby. What's going on? Teron Davenport here in the studio. Calvin Smith flicking those buttons, making things happen. Appreciate you guys tuning in, each of you tuning in. Man, I tell you, there is a lot to talk about. St. Thomas Sports Park, well, that air was a little thick. Today, you could cut it like a cake, but you got to work through the adversity, and that's what this team is going to have to do. I mean, listen, what bigger story could there be than none other than Marcus Mariota no longer being the starting quarterback, at least for this week, because that's kind of what Vrabel said. He said he wouldn't rule anything out regarding Mariota in the future, and he said Tannehill is a starter this week. And he said they're going to eventually need Mariota in some way, shape, or form. Doesn't sound like a ringing endorsement for 17 as the starter. I don't know what to make of it, to be honest with you. When you look at the Broncos game, and we could get into that a little bit. Mariota, his completion percentage, 38.9%. There were definitely struggles. He missed some throws. That one, Calvin, to Delanie Walker, he ran a seam route, and he threw it just a little bit behind him. And granted, it probably wouldn't have been a touchdown. It would have been a completion with yards after the catch, and ended up just being a completion because Delanie had to kind of fall back and he went to the ground. He didn't get a chance to make a play with the ball after catching it. The Deion Lewis screen pass, he was off on that one. It's very difficult watching Marcus Mariota. It's tough for me because, and I'm sure it's tough for you as well. Each of you have seen Marcus do things. So I can't say it's just tough for me. It's probably tougher for you because you guys have emotions invested in it. You guys have money invested in it. You guys have time invested in it. You guys deserve to be upset, each of you. And I understand it is tough watching him play because there's so much to his game that excites you. There's so much to his game, his personality, his aura. On the football field, off of the football field, there's so much that makes you want to pull for his success. So when you see all of that and you match it to that throw that he made to Delanie Walker, that throw that he made to Deion Lewis is just, it's mind-boggling. There's a lot to like about Mariota. Let's not pull any punches. We know that. But unfortunately, there are some things that are continuing to surface. You look at the feel in the pocket. You look at allowing the pressure that he's been under other times to impact times when he's not under pressure. One of the examples of that, there was a two-man rush. Yes, I understand they dropped 9 men in coverage. I get it. But that does not mean run away from the pocket. I'm not comparing Mariota to Tom Brady. I'm not even comparing him to, who did I see the other? I want to say it was Aaron Rodgers. I'm not even comparing him to Aaron Rodgers. What I am saying is I've seen other guys maintain their presence within the pocket when the pressure wasn't coming and give their guys chances to make plays. Please understand something, because so many people said, oh, well, you know, he had to run to make something happen. No, he did not. When you scramble and move towards, like out of the pocket, towards the sideline like he did, guess what you're doing? You're reducing the field. You're reducing the routes your receivers can run. Can't do that. It can't happen. He needs to have stayed in the pocket and try to give his guys a chance to make plays. I asked Mike Vrabel about that specifically on Monday. I said, do you think there were times when the quarterback prematurely escaped the pocket? And he admitted to it. He said yes, and he actually said what I said before we got into this, which was the pressure, the times when he's been under duress in the pocket have led to him having less trust, right? And has it led to him trying to find that escape lane before he needs to. There were times where he stepped up into the pocket and stepped up into the pass rush instead of sliding to the left or sliding to the right. These are the things that can't continue to happen. But here's the deal, right? I'm not here to beat up Marcus Mariota. I definitely am not. So I want you guys to understand something, and I want you to understand it really clearly. The offensive failures are not due to Marcus Mariota solely. This offensive line, guess what they got to do? Stop getting violated. Derek Wolfe on Nate Davis, that was ridiculous. You look at that sack, it was ridiculous. I heard Ryan Porth, right, our producer, when I was on the show on Monday, I saw behind the glass. And I after I said this, I said, you know, Nate Davis needs to call an 800 number because he got violated. Ryan thought that was pretty funny and he cracked up about it. But it's the truth. Somebody has to stop these guys from succumbing to the things that they... I mean, Roger Saffold, it didn't happen last week, but look at the other weeks. Whether it be a spin move or whether it be Jordan Phillips, just bull rush, this can't continue to happen. It can't, man. Marcus is under so much pressure and duress. That's problem one. But then problem two is he's not able to consistently keep those pressures from becoming sacks. And then, there's another layer. You got receivers who at times aren't getting open. And then when they do get open, guess what happens? Marcus doesn't have the time to see him. Or another layer of the fault, Marcus just simply doesn't see him. You see what's going on? You ever see those cartoons where the dog chases his tail and it just keep going in a circle? That's what's happening on offense. Now, if I'm this frustrated about it, I can't imagine how each of you are. You guys deserve a better product. That's really the bottom line. You deserve a better product. What you saw against the Broncos was despicable. What you saw against the Bills, disgraceful. What you saw against the Colts, unconscionable. What you saw, I mean, we could bring up all the losses. You know what I mean? And what you guys have been forced to witness, God bless you. I appreciate your dedication. I hope and believe that the team appreciates your dedication. Matter of fact, it's not I hope or believe. I know they appreciate the dedication. End of the day, got to get better. And I know we normally do a play breakdown on offense, but you know what? There's just too much to address offensively to think about highlighting something from the game. You know what I mean? Because that whole effort, that whole production, the results were, I don't even want to say the word, you know, just play a beep, just play a beeping sound. I don't curse, but play a beeping sound for emphasis. You know what I mean? That's really where I'm at. But now the question is, where does the offense go from here? What happens from here? Ryan Tannehill is now under center this week. What happens? I'm going to tell you what needs to happen. And it's crazy because a lot of times I've spoken about Mariota's ability to go off schedule and make plays happen. With Tannehill, I think what he has to do is stay on schedule. Be more decisive with his passing. That's what Mariota needed to do, frankly. Because we know, I think it's 2.89 seconds he was taken to throw the football. That was the ninth longest time in the NFL out of all starting quarterbacks. Again, I'm not here to beat Marcus up. I'm just presenting an idea so you can understand what you may be getting differently from Ryan Tannehill. I don't have numbers like seconds it took for Tannehill to throw the football. He only threw it 16 frippin' times. He completed 13 of them. However, I will say, Tannehill tends to be a more decisive passer. He seems like he has more of a plan on where to go with the football. But I tell you, he gets the ball out of his hands quickly, but it doesn't always go where it needs to go. So there's going to be some risk. and reward. You're going to see a little more interceptions. How this defense is going to be able to respond from that is yet to be seen. But I will say there are going to be times where Ryan Tannehill makes a throw and you're just like, by golly, what the heck were you thinking? It's just the way it is. But there's also going to be times where you're going to say, whoa, that's what I'm talking about. That's what this offense needed. So guess what? It's more of the same mind-boggling quarterback play. The point is, under this scheme, a team that is just completely unable to find a rhythm on offense, you need to get the ball out of your hands quickly, get it into the hand. Let A.J. Brown do something with it. Let Delaney do something with it. Get a ball to Corey Davis so he could do something with it. Who knows? Maybe Derrick Henry, you know, will have a catch and run like he did against the Browns. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is you got to give your guys chances to make plays. And that's not just on the quarterback. The offensive line has to give the quarterback time to make plays. Oh, and y'all thought I was going to leave Arthur Smith out of it? Heck no. He's responsible too. My thing is this. You see your guys are having trouble creating consistent separation. Bunch formation. Run zero. Have bunch formation with zero splits. Run tiered routes. Bunch formation naturally makes a DB. I wish I had a corner here so I could talk to him about this and get him to elaborate. But it naturally makes a DB back up. If you guys go ahead and go back to the Logan Ryan play breakdown, he talked about that. He said it naturally. He naturally creates separation. So why not utilize something that does what your team is struggling to do? Coach Smith, I love you, dog. Really do, man. You're a great dude. Why can you not establish an identity? How come against the Broncos, you have a team clearly selling out to stop the run? And my goodness, understand what I'm about to say. You have a team clearly selling out to stop the run. Why not pass the ball more? You have safeties at times lining up 7 to 8 yards off the ball. 7 to 8 yards off the ball. They have a guy in Devontae Harris who, let me tell you something, right? Let me tell you something. Bryce Callahan was supposed to be the starter. He got hurt. Devontae Bosby was the fill-in. Guess what happened? He got hurt. Guess who started? Devontae Harris, third string corner. You're going to have the audacity to put a third string corner on me? That's what I'm thinking of from Corey Davis, A.J. Brown. You're going to have the huevos to put a third string cornerback on me and have the nerve to not have safety help over top? We better capitalize. But they didn't. That's my issue. I don't really know what else to say about this offense, to be honest with you. What's next for the offense? Listen, they better figure out a way to put drives together because they're not going to be going deep. That's not Tannehill's specialty. That's not what he does. You don't believe me? I challenge you to just Google Mike Wallace. Mike Wallace has some comments on paper about Ryan Tannehill and his deep passing. Google Mike Wallace. I'll say this, though. Again, it goes back to, I know Tannehill took 4 sacks in this past game, right? I understand that. I get it. But I think this is a game, like going forward, like with him being a starter, I think he's going to have that time to put together the plan. Obviously, you prepare whether or not you're going to be the starter or the backup. But I think getting those reps and going into a game knowing you're going to be the guy will help him be more on schedule, help him be more decisive. We'll see what happens there. But at the same time, I don't know for sure that he's better for this offense. I can't guarantee you that. Because, listen, Tannehill, hey, man, the Dolphins are paying multiple million. The Dolphins have provided multiple million reasons why Tannehill is not that guy. They're paying him multiple millions of dollars to not play for them. So let's not sit here and act like Tannehill is the savior. I'm not going to say that. But I do want to see if that spark, if that change. This is a monumental change. Even though it may be for just a week, this is a monumental change. Marcus Mariota is no longer, when they play that Polynesian people music that they play when Marcus comes out, he's not going to come out as a starter. He's going to come out as the backup. This isn't something that normally happens without an injury being in flux into it. I will give Marcus credit. He said that, you know, it's not going to define him. He said he's going to learn from it. And he said that he made it clear his career isn't over. We'll see what happens with that whole situation. But look, bottom line, you got to score points. They have to figure out a way to score points. I've said the quote over and over again, and I'll say it again, especially on my own show, dadgummit. Kenny Vaccaro, you heard what he said. It doesn't matter if it's going to be 0-0 games. As a defense, they have to elevate their level of play. They have to get, and he said the standard is 85 Bears, 2,000 Ravens. They got to shut people down. Not really much more to say, folks. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't throw the ball. They couldn't do anything on offense. 204 yards of total offense. 204 yards total offense. Think about that. We're going to go ahead to a break, but before we do, I want you guys to know that there's something new brewing. We're on Spotify. We're on iTunes. Be sure to hit that follow button. Hit that subscribe button. You could just search Talking with TD on either platform. It's going to come up. Calvin Smith has done an awesome job of making this happen. I wish I had a button I could hit to make the clapping sound come on. But, yeah, that's what has to happen in this situation. So, I don't know, folks. I don't know. I understand that it's frustrating, but still make sure you come out and support. Go to TennesseeTickets.com. You could get your tickets. No extra fees, no surcharges, none of that. What you see as the total is the total when you hit purchase. So make sure you go to TennesseeTickets.com. I'll be at the tailgate, too. We'll break things down a little bit more. So you want to come Talking with TD at Nissan Stadium, be sure to do that as well. We'll go to a break. We'll be right back.
Artificial intelligence, AI, is taking over the world.
How can I help you today?
So put it to work for you.
Your appointment is at 9 a.m.
Ask Alexa to
enable 102.5 The Game.
Okay.
Once enabled,
Alexa, play 102.5 The Game.
The future is here.
Let me help you with that.
Ask Alexa to enable 102.5 The Game.
This is Jayon Brown, and you're now talking with TD.
That's right, straighten it out. Together, this is what we got to do. We just talked about the offense. We're going to get into the defense. As I said before the break, make sure you go to iTunes, Spotify, and subscribe to Talking with TD. You use what I just said to search. Just search Talking with TD. Hit that subscribe button. We need your support. Please and thank you. Now, as the lead in music said, straighten it out. Together, they got to straighten it out. We talked a little bit about Kenny Vaccaro and how he feels they have to elevate their game on defense. I tell you, one of the other things they're going to have to elevate on defense, specifically the leader of the defense, the highest paid safety in the history of the NFL, Kevin Byard. I think when you look at this change that was made at quarterback, he has to lead the charge as far as, because most of these guys have been here with Marcus Mariota for extended time. So they know him. They're friends with him. They're used to going, I don't want to say going to war, but they're used to going into competition with him. So it's obviously a change for them. There's something that they have to do as far as adapt to this change as well. I talked to Kevin Byard about that, and here's what he had to say about just the switch and what it means to the defense and how he's going to be a leader and help everyone adjust to this.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation because I think that this entire team is behind, has always been behind number eight. As long as he's been, that's been my guy. I support him throughout everything. But that's definitely a coach's decision. They feel like 17 can give us a better opportunity to win ball guys. I understand they're going to make the decision based off the team. And he'll have our full support as well. I've been having our full support throughout practice and everything. So, I mean, at this point, as a defensive leader, you know, I could just try to speak for my guys and tell us that it doesn't matter what happens on offense. That's what I tell them going to every game. It doesn't matter what they do. If they score 6 points, 7 points, 30 points, you know, we have to make sure that we're doing our job. Like I said, so when we cut the film on Mondays, that we can feel good about ourselves going into the next week and continue to try to build on what we've been doing so far.
Thing, continuing to try to build on what they've been doing so far. This team is giving up 17 points a game. They have pretty much held their own really well as far as the defense is concerned. They've held up their third of the complimentary football formula that Mike Vrabel asks these guys to have, demands these guys to have. Special teams it's been all right the last couple of games. It's been all right. You had the 42-yard return, and then you had the obviously the missed field goals. Those are things that can't happen. But when you look at the defense, I think they just are in a situation where it's just bad. And they're holding on and holding on and holding on. You ever see one of those movies, right? Like the guy is let's say he falls out of a helicopter, right? And he's holding on to the foot of the helicopter, and you just see his hands just continue to slip and slip and slip, then he finally falls. That's this defense, right? They're holding on, they're holding on, they're holding on, and then finally what happens towards the end of games? What happens, Calvin? A big play that just kind of sinks the whole ship. I think it's a shame that they're required to hold on the way that they do. And, you know, it's just terrible. So, obviously, that's been an issue. The initial issue was letting teams score on the first drive. Well, they fixed that. The next issue has been the late plays leading to a score or just a possession that just put the game away. That's what they need to fix. But before you can fix anything, you need to understand why that's happening. I talked to Kenny Vaccaro about that, and here's what he had to say as far as why this team is allowing late big plays from opposing offenses.
Lindsey had the late run.
We got to stop doing this. That too.
What is going into that?
Pressing.
Like, pressing.
We're like, okay. Got to get the ball back.
Okay.
Guys are just trying to strip the ball. Yeah, like, yeah. It's just pressing. We got to just understand that, like, just play our deep. Like, whatever we do in the middle of the game, it's going to be good enough at the end of the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not giving up anything. Just stick with that. That's it. Just pressing a little bit. But even though we get up like 160 passing, I mean, if we get up that low of passing total, they're going to run for at least 100 easily. But we got that. We have that one. We always have that one big play game. If we cut that out, we're best defense in the league.
So I don't know about best defense in the league, but I think already there are a top five defense. And I mean, you got to love the confidence, and you got to love the brutal honesty. And end of the day, it's almost like they feel like they have to pitch a shutout. Their margin for error is very slim with what's going on offense. But one thing that they are going against this week is an offense that is capable of putting some points on the board. Phillip Rivers, he's the epitome of get that thing up out his hands, right? He's going to get rid of that football. He has one of the league's top route runners in Keenan Allen. That's going to be a challenge for I don't care who lines up opposite him. That's going to be a challenge. So that's a combination they're going to have to figure out how to stop. Then you got Mike Williams running those deep routes, you know, the posts, the corners, and those different things. I mean, they present a serious challenge. Austin Eckler, that dude, he runs like hey, man, what did T.O. say? I got my get somewhere shoes on. That's how Austin Eckler runs. He runs like he got some get somewhere shoes on. That guy has a sense of urgency. So he's someone else that will have to be focused on. You know, that team, that defense is going to have to focus. He had a good game against the Titans last year, right? And this is a rematch of the London game, you know. It's just happening in Nissan Stadium. And I'm curious how it's going to work out. The defense, like you said, they're going to have to step up. Again, Phillip Rivers is a guy that can make things happen. It's going to be a really good matchup. Like I said, make sure you come check it out. TennesseeTickets.com is your way to do it. We're going to go ahead to a break. Before we do, I'm going to remind you once again, listen, it's my job to beat you in the head with this. Subscribe. iTunes, Spotify, Talking with TD. Do it for you, do it for me. We're going to a break. We'll be right back.
Stay up to date on the latest news in sports. Take us wherever you may go with the Game Nashville app.
Tap that app.
Just search ESPN The Game Nashville on Google Play or iTunes and download the Game Nashville app now.
This is Corey Davis, and you're talking with TD.
Back from the break, talking with TD. This right here is what I call some riding music right here, man. This is the type of music you put on when you're about to do something bad. But we're not doing anything bad right now. We're going to Calvin's Corner. Calvin, what's on the docket today?
Teron, you teed me up perfectly in the first segment with everything you talked about with Mariota and Tannehill, because that's what I'm going to focus on today is, one, the differences between the two. Because you actually said it in the first segment perfectly. You didn't have the numbers, but I have all the numbers that you talked about in those differences between, you know, Ryan Tannehill's little bit more sense of urgency when throwing the ball. Mm-hmm. That's bared out in his time to throw on Next Gen Stats. Granted, Next Gen Stats only goes back to 2016, and Ryan Tannehill missed 2017. So we only have 2 real years of data to work with. But in both seasons, Tannehill's time to throw was lower than Marcus Mariota's. Another thing I like to talk about is the average depth of every target of an NFL passer. And Ryan Tannehill, kind of a mixed bag, actually kind of fluctuates in the same range as Marcus Mariota. Even though I think a lot of people would say Tannehill has a bigger arm, just like you said, Ryan Tannehill is not the guy who's going to come in here and try to wing the ball deep down the field. You know, we think he has a stronger arm, but that doesn't mean that hasn't been shown in his average depth of target. Some years his depth of target has been over 9 yards, but Marcus Mariota had that in his first and second season. Well, Tannehill had that a couple years, then it dropped down to 7, then to 8. And with Tannehill, it's kind of been just a little bit of a different bag each season based on the Dolphins and everything going on there with Adam Gase's offense, which does skew a lot of what we talk about, because a lot of what we know about Ryan Tannehill was in Adam Gase's offense, which is probably quite different than what he's going to be asked to do here in Nashville. But I also wanted to go back and take a look at what happened with Marcus Mariota against the Denver Broncos. Mm. Because I go back to some of these accuracy stats I stated earlier in the year, and he was, I believe it was the 4th least accurate quarterback in the NFL last week. And I looked at the names and I'm like, wow, I'm kind of surprised he wasn't the least accurate. But by the way, nocheckdowns.com grades accuracy. Gardner Minshew, Andy Dalton, and Jared Goff were each less accurate than Mariota last week. And I thought, well, how were they completing passes? How were they at all competent? And none of them had a good week last week at all. But each of them got the ball out quicker than Marcus Mariota. And that is where the big problem was. Inaccuracy, like you said, it was like a dog chasing his tail, right? All these things keep coming together. Mm-hmm. And it's like with Mariota, it was inaccuracy coupled with long times to throw, and then it's hard to have success when you're not throwing the ball deep or you can't get the ball deep, and it's just everything that kind of came together in the wrong way.
Penalties.
And, exactly. Penalties that set them behind the eight ball, and they kept getting behind the chains so often. That's really what happened against Denver.
Yeah.
And I think what can encourage you is what I said at the beginning about Ryan Tannehill's time to throw. It has been shorter than Mariota's. There were a few plays last week where Tannehill got the ball out quick with a sense of urgency.
Right away.
Exactly.
Right away.
Corey Davis twice, A.J. Brown once were his first 3 passes, I believe.
Yeah.
Those were who he was targeting. And hey, we're all for that here. We want to see Corey Davis and A.J. Brown get fed for
without
sure.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And, you know, all right, I'm going to put context around it, right? Because at that point in time, I laugh because it's just crazy that you can have a 13-point lead and say, you know what? I'm good. But that's pretty much what the Broncos did. So yes, you had the DBs playing a little bit more off. So naturally, it's going to be easier to pitch and catch. But still, it was, hey, listen, I'm going here. That first throw to to Corey Davis on the 5-yard out, and then he hit. That was a pretty throw to A.J. Brown. You know, on the crossing route. And I tell you, that daggone AJ, yo, yak monster.
Yeah,
that's what he is, man.
It's crazy to me. I tweeted this out A.J. Brown really is a running back once he catches the football. Like, yeah. That is truly the most, one of the most rare skill sets in the NFL. And he's just doing everything right. He really seems like he's going to be a special receiver. I was thinking about that a lot this week.
Special dude, period.
Yes.
And I mean, you know, in the locker room after the game, he was so distraught about what happened to Marcus, he put his arm around him and started crying.
Yes, I saw your tweet about that.
And then today, talking to him, he was like, man, I feel like it's partly my fault. Mm-hmm. I love that about him.
Yeah.
That's the mindset you have to have.
Yep.
Where he feels like he could have done better. And he legitimately felt bad for his quarterback.
Well, it's everything he's this wasn't supposed to turn into an A.J. Brown segment, but here it is. I mean, everything he's done has just been right so far.
Yeah.
Like, he had the swagger with the lizard skin suit, which is flashy.
I got to talk to him about that.
Too. Like, he wore that suit, which normally can, like, maybe come across the wrong way to some people.
Mm-hmm.
But he plays it so perfectly because he can be flashy and humble at the same time because he doesn't do silly things.
Yep.
Like, A.J. Brown really seems to be like a special receiver. And I hope Ryan Tannehill can feed him Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, Adam Humphries in the way they should be.
And I think that's going to be a key. You know, they have to really work a lot this week. What A.J. Brown said on this show and on this show only about developing chemistry, it's like, you know, developing a relationship with your girlfriend. So my thing is they got a speed date, right? This is a speed date, date week. They have to get up to par. But I want to get more of what you have to say about these quarterbacks because that should be the focus.
Yeah. Well, just the big thing when I was looking over all the numbers, Tannehill and Mariota, when you boil it down to average depth of targets, their completion percentage is over average. Generally, they're very similar. Ryan Tannehill, over the course of his career, basically from 2 yards to 30 yards, has been a slightly above average quarterback in terms of completion percentage.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy who generally seems solid. He's not, like you said, he does not look like he's going to be the guy of the future for the Tennessee Titans, a game manager. And I think all you ask out of Tannehill right now is crispness and precision in the passing game, getting the ball out quickly, because right now, we know Tannehill doesn't throw deep. He doesn't throw deep particularly well.
Mm-hmm.
With the problems with the offensive line, you know, the running game, it gets going, and sometimes it doesn't. It's there, and then it's not. You know, I think with Ryan Tannehill, he's just got to do what Mariota couldn't do, get the ball out consistently, quickly, with accuracy. And we know he does that. He can do the quickly part. The accuracy part is what's in flux. But Marcus Mariota this season couldn't get the ball out quickly at
consistently.
All.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I tell you, and here's the thing, man, those quick hits is going to lead to big plays, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Slow go seam, right? Out and up, right? Screen, pump and go, those type of plays is going to lead to that, but you have to take those shots. And that's why I asked Arthur Smith about being able to pocket things that you see. Like, you start seeing that corner jump aggressively on that slant, you start seeing him jump aggressively on that out route, excuse me. You hit him with that out and up. You hit him with that slow go, pump fake, and turn up. But you have to know when to bring it out.
Yep.
And that's the thing that Arthur Smith is still learning.
Yep.
I'm not going to say it's time to get rid of Arthur Smith.
No. It's only been six games.
Right. Because there are plays where receivers are running open.
Yep.
So, you know, it's just a matter of just as a unit, they have to step forward.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody from Arthur Smith to Willie Nelson, right, taking care of the technical side of things. Everybody, they got to get right. And I think with time, it can get right. The thing is, Rome isn't always burned down. 2-4
after 6 weeks.
2-4 after 6 weeks. They're two games behind the Texans. They have two meetings with the Texans in December. There's still time to turn it around.
Still a game against the Colts. Still a game against the Jags.
Yep.
I don't know if I'm betting on that at this point, but the defense really looks like they're going to be there. At the beginning of the year, I'll call out myself here. I said it's very unlikely they repeat as a top five scoring defense. Shoot, they're on pace to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really impressive and very difficult to do. The only teams you've seen do that really are the Seahawks, who did it 3 years in a row from a couple years ago.
Yeah, speaking of the Seahawks, man, that darn Russell Wilson.
Something else.
They're something special. Something special. I enjoy watching the Seahawks, man.
Yes.
Growing up, like, as a former 49er fan, it's crazy to say that, but they're probably one of my favorite teams to watch.
Well, Russell Wilson is everything you hoped Marcus Mariota could be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, agile, but this composed guy in the pocket who can make plays whenever he wants to. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson also has a crazy strong arm. He can hit throws all over the field. He's really accurate. He's really everything you wanted Marcus Mariota to be. I think now a lot of people in Arizona hope Kyler Murray develops into something like a Russell Wilson.
Yeah, only quarterback I could think of that could scramble backwards, but he's able to do it. You know what I mean? Outside of Fran Tarkenton. So that was definitely a good segment. I appreciate that. You want more of this, Calvin's Corner? You know what to do. Subscribe. Talking with TD. Check it out on Spotify as well as iTunes.
Nick Kale.
It feels like it's part of the plan to set up something bigger.
Brayden Gall.
People everywhere in the country are interested.
Derek Mason.
You knew he was good. I knew he was good.
Right. Morning Drive.
He's a good player, but I don't know if he's a franchise quarterback.
Weekdays at 6 a.m. on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
If you don't know me by now, I doubt you'll ever know me. I never won a Grammy. I won't win a Tony.
Yes. Back from the break, you are listening to Talking with TD. KRS-One, the great KRS-One, Chris Parker, with These Are the Breaks. And that's a fitting song because right now the breaks are that Marcus Mariota is not starting. He's no longer the starter, at least for this week. I want to just take a second to share with you my favorite play. Now, granted, I've only covered the team a little over a year, but I've watched a lot of Marcus Mariota. But my favorite play that he made came in that playoff clinching win against the Jaguars, man. He was back there in that pocket. It got muddy. He stepped up, slid to his right, or his left, rather, and took off. It was a third down, too. Needed that first down. Needed it. Took off, ran. He gave Barry Church, Brian Church, he don't even deserve to have a first name after that one, but he gave Church the illest stiff arm and then got that first down. But you know what, Marcus, as Adoree Jackson calls him, the chill Hawaiian, you know what the chill Hawaiian did? After he got tagged, he got up and led Barry Church. No. Basically, just like as a receiver, what we say to DBs, you just got mossed. He let Church know that he just gave him the business. That is my favorite play that I've seen Marcus Mariota make. And one of the things that always makes me turn up when I see that is the way Derek Morgan, how hype he was afterwards, man. Oh, it's tough. It's tough. Like Marcus said, it's a tough pill to swallow. AJ Brown, he said it's a tough pill to swallow. It's difficult for this whole team. But like I said, those are the breaks. You know what I mean? And when you look at it, what's next for Marcus Mariota? Ooh, I don't know. I think he could go to another team and excel. It's obviously, and I went up to him today and I said, Marcus, there's plenty of talent. You know that. There's plenty of talent left in your body, plenty of big plays left. And he just kind of smiled and nodded, shook my hand. And it's the truth. So he could go somewhere. I think this team that they're playing this week will be a pretty nice destination for him. Reunited, and it feels so good, right? He and Ken Whisenhunt, I think that would be good. But I just want to see Mariota go someplace where they're going to open things up. They're going to be wide open and give him a chance to make some plays and scheme things up like they did for him at Oregon. Obviously, it's a different level, so you're not going to get as wide open. But I think that's what's next for Mariota. I think he is going to get an opportunity to make a few more plays this year. I think he'll start again this year. And I think he's going to show that, you know, he's a guy that is able to bounce back, right? Bounce back like a Super Bowl and make things happen. But it's not going to happen here. So that's what's next for Marcus Mariota. We're going from one quarterback to the other. Going to bring in this Kevin Byard breakdown. Got so caught up in talking about other things defensively, didn't bring you the thing that makes us most unique, right? Because we go into the locker room and we bring you into the locker room to talk shop with the players. Kevin Byard breaking down that interception that he had. Check it out.
All right, so while everybody's over there talking to the quarterback, I'm going to talk to the quarterback of the defense, rather. So this was your interception. Can you just kind of take me through it? I thought it was a really good play. So
right.
What's going on?
So we're basically just in a cover one defense with a little low hole right in the middle, and I got a post help
at the top, pretty much what I was seeing was I was kind of trying to ride the defender as far as I can into the post safety, pretty much trying to stay on his upfield shoulder. Then he kind of broke up the field, like on a what I would call a sail kind of bow route where he bends it out. And I was kind of in the trail position a little bit. And so what I did was I was kind of reading his shoulder, the tight end, trying to see who's going to look back at the ball. And he looked over his right shoulder. As soon as I seen him look over his left, I'm thinking, like, okay, he must have lost the ball or the ball's going to go to the post safety. So I started looking at Kenny. I was looking at the post safety like, oh, Kenny's about to pick the ball off. But then I kind of seen his angle. I said, he doesn't like he's that close. So I'm thinking, like, where's the ball at? And then the tight end kind of just lost it. And I just kind of tried to anticipate when the ball was going to hit his hands or whatever. And it didn't. It hit his back. Mm-hmm. So I had kind of stuck my hand out there. And my hand was slick just right there exactly where the ball was landing. So when the ball hit his back plate, it kind of just stuck there. And it was one of those deals where I don't know how I caught it, but you know what I'm saying? It's one of those deals where it just happened. Like I said, the ball kind of hit at the right place, and I was able to snag it off his back or whatever. So it was a good heads-up play. I was just trying to make a play for the team, come out of halftime. Really needed a big play, and that's really what happened. Really.
It was third and two.
Right.
Were you surprised? Because they have been banging the ball inside between the tackles.
Correct.
With some success, were you surprised they threw the ball?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I was kind of riding his shoulder, because I was honestly anticipating him running the over route. Because I'm thinking, because they kind of ran like we call 10-7, where the two outside receivers, they kind of run short ends, and the other tight end run a 7. So, other teams run different variations. They might run two ends on the outside. They might run a dig with the tight end, a vertical, but they ran a 10-7 on that one. So, I was a little bit shocked. Like I said, 3rd and 2, you would think the teams would want to get a first down, but he kind of just threw it up there. And like I said, it's funny because in Denver, the sun was literally directly over top of the stadium.
Yes.
So that's kind of what I thought, that, the tight end actually just lost the ball in the air, couldn't really find it. And like I said, it kind of worked out for me. So, they say you create your own luck. So, but, you got to be prepared for the situation. I was able to make a good play in the air.
And you're right about that, because looking like when he was looking over that shoulder, looking back,
exactly.
I remember before the game looking at that direction, and it was bright.
Yeah,
I was wondering how that would be for the returners.
It was. I was looking, like you said, the returners, and even when we was doing our pregame warm, I was thinking, like, man, the sun is like directly in the middle of the sky. So yeah, like you said, it was one of those deals where as soon as I seen him, when he looked over his left shoulder, then he looked over his right, I was like, oh yeah, he can't find the ball, whatever. So like you said, the ball just kind of bounced in the right place. I was able to make a play.
And then the last thing, what's the coaching point here? Because it's almost like, let me try to get to that spot. We see it better from this view.
Right.
When he released off the ball, it was almost like, I don't want to say you caught him,
right?
But and you weren't flat footed, but like you were just kind of like you were there.
Yeah, exactly.
Like what's the coaching point? Like, how do you keep from getting caught flat footed in that situation and not having them run by you?
Nah, for sure. It's just one of those deals where, like I said, I understand that I have low inside help. So I don't really have to play super aggressive inside because I have a help right inside. But it's also one of those deals where you got a guy like Noah Fant, he's kind of a stronger, bigger tight end.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to get caught flat-footed, because most tight ends, especially 3rd and 2, he just try to body you up. So you kind of want to be able to sponge back with your feet, not really getting both of your feet caught in the ground at the same time, and being able to use your athleticism and be able to, if I wanted to be able to slip him, if he was trying to body me out or stuff like that. So that's usually my technique. I kind of want to ride that outside shoulder, but not just super aggressive, super flat-footed, because like I said, these tight ends, they like to, give you a little wing and push off and stuff like that. So it's kind of just really just switching techniques up, and also watching film of these guys, understanding what kind of tight ends or what kind of routes they're going to run. Like, I think, like I would say, Delaney's the kind of tight end who does a real good job of, if you're too over-aggressive on him, he has the good job of just hitting you with that little shoulder and be able to create separation like that. Exactly, so... But I mean, like I said, I kind of did a good job of being able to ride his shoulder. And I also think that the fact that I rode his shoulder in so much that it kind of messed up the throw for the quarterback. Because like I said, I kind of brought him so much into the middle of the field, he really probably wasn't even able to get to his landmark where he probably needed to get to.
All right, so that was Byard. Even gave you a little coaching point, so definitely make sure you tune in. Get your little ones to tune in, you know what I mean? Give you some technique, give you some help there. This show has been negative and positive. It's what we try to do, balance it out. I don't mean to end it on a negative, but you know what time it is. Blow the whistle. Blow the whistle. Blow the whistle. Yeah, that's right. That's right. The music is on, so you know what time it is. It's time to blow the whistle. I can't blow the whistle on one person. Let me get that music again. Because now I'm just kidding. We're going to blow the whistle on the whole offense. The offense as a whole, the offensive line, the receivers, the coaches, the quarterback. You guys collectively got this man, Marcus Mariota, benched. I'm blowing the whistle on you. That's it, man. I'm blowing the whistle on the offensive line. I'm blowing the whistle on the receivers. I'm blowing the whistle on Marcus Mariota. Dadgum, I'm blowing the whistle on Ryan Tannehill. You know what, Logan Woodside, you're responsible for it too. That whole, anybody that has an offensive asterisk or offensive connotation is responsible for what has happened, and the whistle's being blown on you. That's the show. We appreciate you tuning in. Make sure you go to TennesseeTickets.com. Get your tickets to this game this weekend. Come out and support your team. Also, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, Talking with TD. Make sure you search it. Do me a favor. Do you a favor. Let's enjoy the games this weekend. Thanks for tuning in. God bless. Good night.